All right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, October 24th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Monday, everyone. It is a very dark and it looks like it's going to rain 46 degrees here in upstate New York. Kind of damp, too. I don't know. It looks kind of weird outside. Makes you want to stay in bed on a Monday, nice and cool. So where do we leave off on Friday? We titled the show AI, Synthetic Biology, Tech Big Boys, Sophia, and Skynet. And we spent a week, last week, I believe, looking at artificial intelligence, looking at the robots coming to take all the jobs, looking how synthetic biology plays into this whole coming of our 21st century future. We took a look at quite a number of things. You know, one of the things that is important, and I think that most don't distinguish upon yet, but we need to point out, is that AI, when people talk about coming of the robots, they think of tin can robots. Well, it's not all about tin can robots. And interestingly enough, I saw a story, I don't have an open here, but I saw it over the weekend when I was doing a couple searches about how we have software deployed everywhere. Anywhere we can get the internet, anywhere we have a device, any type of intelligent device or device that can connect to Wi-Fi, we have a potential for there to be software connected that can be updated remotely. Well, anything like that that has an IIS server, little mini tiny chip now, but in the old days used to run a whole software package on a big ass server to get one computer on the internet. But now, I mean, they're microscopic, just about, at least for some of the stuff I've seen in dust motes, smart motes and that. But the scary thing is that as they are developing and rolling out autonomous capabilities of software to be able to maybe not even be artificially intelligent, but at least give it algorithms, right? I told you 2016 was the year of the algorithm, and I told you guys that back in January, and it most certainly has been. The algorithm is going to be where the decision is being made by comparing facts and determining whether or not your object that you are monitoring is within parameters, or whether or not you could, you know, produce statistics to make Johnny a good salesman on the phone. I mean, who knows? But the ability to have software everywhere exists. So once you start tinkering with these self-learning, cloud learning, remember we talked about Baxter, and now Google is also working with cloud learning for computers. So one Baxter learns and the other million Baxters get a new skill. It's a pretty scary thought, because Baxter isn't just going to be a skin and bones. Well, he might future be skin, but what would he be? Titanium. Titanium and actuators. But it also can be software that intelligence has been imbued upon based upon how they write it. And so we have the sleeping giant everywhere. You know, right now, we've talked a lot about the Internet of Things, and that's how we have gone just from the plain old internet to having connectivity, right? Then we just got our web connection, then we got our own routers instead of dial-up. Now we can at least connect direct to the internet. But then cell phones, then wearables. I mean, I have to tell you, over this past week, I think after dinner, when we were flipping around, we usually try to find a science show this time of year, because there's really nothing to do when it's wet and raining for 5 days in October in upstate New York. It's pretty miserable. But the good thing to do is to find a good hour science program or something on and spend time as a family and talk about it. But this whole week, I think we saw three shows. They talked about every topic, like every topic that we talk about here. My daughter is like, Mom, they're talking about your thing. Yep. And it's not it's not going to be pretty. But one of the things that they were also pointing out is what I was just saying, and we talked about that last week, that artificial intelligence isn't just the coming of the robots. It is the takeover of all software, whether the software be running on an endpoint like your cell phone or your refrigerator or your autonomous drone, or if it's running on Atlas or Cheetah or Big Dog, you know, or Valkyrie. Remember that other big scary robot I just saw too? They even talked about Valkyrie being the helper for the space shuttle, space station, and sending men to Mars utilizing robots to build the habitats as well. We talked about that. I mean, this is not fantasy. So along with all this happening a couple weeks back, right, we looked at them rolling out Obama's Preparing for the Future of AI framework, Carnegie Mellon University. Carnegie Mellon University happens to be the same Carnegie Mellon University that won the Cyber Grand Challenge. And I've talked about this many, many times. That Cyber Grand Challenge was held in Nevada this summer. It was sponsored by DARPA. They used 7 supercomputers of DARPA's to be able to build self-aware-ish software that'll be able to patrol the perimeters of the internet and the Internet of Things to provide security, because we're imperfect. Your network administrator is never going to patch it. And I got to tell you, I'm probably one of the worst at patching, but it's only because you do know, right? Every time they patch, they're adding a new spy hole somewhere. You know, call me paranoid, but I was pointing out to my family this weekend, all these years, every single one of these years that I've been in technology, I've always been fully aware of spy capabilities. I've always been fully aware as to how law enforcement can utilize the tools against us, having built a lot of these tools and a lot of these networks. I mean, it's not too hard to see when you're actually putting it all together, going, oh, look, you can remotely open cameras, you know. But the scary thing is that it's gone beyond that now, right? We are looking, because there is so much data with this Internet of Everything coming, which includes not only smart toilets, like we talked about the other day, or little smart mental health detecting applications, or smart underwear from IBM's Watson working with Under Armour. But it's also going to be able to connect us to the same monitoring, bagging, and tagging artificially intelligent ubiquitous network, right? We talked about that neural dust a while ago. We'll look at some of that. All right, so let's kick it off here, because I think it's very interesting. Is this is all going on Friday, and I was doing the show when it was kind of transpiring. I think it just started just before we went on air. I went down a couple times. I lost my internet connection. And then I did the show. And by the time I got off air, there was a massive East Coast, quote unquote, cyber attack. Now, how convenient. Just a few short weeks before the election. Just, I don't know, a week or two since they warned Russian hackers were coming after us. And, oh, God, how embarrassing, WikiLeaks, those damn Russians are trying to influence our election. Ecuador shut off Julian Assange's internet for a little while there, too, because they were getting a little bit afraid that if they kept allowing him to feed out information, that he might influence the election. And since the U.S. is the biggest trading partner for Ecuador, they decided to make him cool off a little bit. So how convenient, right as all this is going on, and Google, remember, last week, before the third debate, Google announced that since everybody was crying about fact-checking, remember that second debate, oh, fact-check, go to my website. Go to my website and check the facts. Since that happens, Google released their truth algorithm that Bill Clinton called for in 2011 after Fukushima to, quote-unquote, tamp down on those internet rumors. And now, Google is ranking the news based upon whether or not the quote-unquote facts in your story correlate to their quote-unquote truth databases that they use. Like, how insane. But hey, now we have this big cyber attack. It was the biggest ever. Oh my God. This is going to be our scary future is what they said. What just happens here? And it is a scary future. But it isn't a scary future because of the hackers under my bed or living in my closet. No, it isn't. Yeah, I'm pretty used to it. I don't know. I always had some creepy, when I was a kid, there was some creepy thing that lived up under my clothes on the top shelf in my closet that I would always imagine. The second I got out of bed in the dark, I'd get sucked into the closet and this thing was in there. And you know what? After I saw Poltergeist as a kid, there was a scary clown under my bed for a while, too. You know, but, hey, they're gone now. I got out the vacuum cleaner and a broom. And we beat that creepy clown and sent him to North Carolina. Anyway. But what's happening now is that they just made these hackers and the Zika virus, though I haven't seen Zika in a while, but absolutely the hackers come out from under the bed like a band of gypsies. And they're attacking the internet. And I saw a couple different things. Oh, it's Russia. Oh, it's hackers. Regardless of who it is, I don't think it's any of them, to be honest. I actually think it might be good old Keith Alexander, former director of the NSA, Keith Alexander, Cyber Patrol, just told to bloop, start pinging the DNS servers. And make people feel a little pain. See, what happened was a really old type of exploit that's been around, which, let me just tell you guys. So they're making a big deal about this. I've been seeing now top news for 3 days. They're going to use it to crack down on things. They are going to use it to release Skynet. They're going to use it to let that software go that they built and tested in Las Vegas this summer. Carnegie Mellon won the $2 million prize. And conveniently, Obama went there to Carnegie Mellon and laid out his framework for artificial intelligence. Well, because the Internet of Things is so insecure, and I was reading insane stuff yesterday, like people are clamoring, we should, you know, how horrible that all these governments, I mean, all these companies are creating these devices and these pieces of software, and governments aren't forcing them to have strong security, and how, you know, they should be facing now, if there were damages, they should be facing liability. That's like, what? When did that ever happen? Like, now they're talking about government regulation of security of devices. You know what? There's security professionals that can make $150,000 a year if you can go get your CISSP. I tried to do that a couple times. It's super hard. You know, but let's put all those people out of jobs, too, because guess what? Now with the shape shifting, autonomous, artificially intelligent scanning security software they built, DEFCON hacking convention, they won't need security professionals anymore. This software will be updating, monitoring, and taking care of your security. And they're setting it up right now. So as we are at the cusp of probably one of the most insane times that I can remember in my last almost 50 years of life in the United States, we have the reins just about ready to be handed over to one of two lunatics. And I hate to tell you, if I had to pick one of the two lunatics, I would probably pick the one lunatic that doesn't want to out of the gate go to war. They both have major issues you know, we're talking militarization and surveillance, and this is all going to kick it up to the next notch. And this lame-ass president we have now, it's about ready to leave office, has literally in the last 8 years set all of this insanity into motion. He inked the executive order for big data. He inked the executive order for AI. He inked the executive order for precision medicine. He inked the executive order for the Brain Initiative. He inked the executive order or the law, whatever he put into, without anyone voting on it, for Obamacare. Which then becomes part of that electronic medical health records. Which then becomes part of precision medicine. He did all this to us, and it's all in the name of moving forward in the 21st century. Well, guys, problem, reaction, solution. Because as we have this massive, massive breach, well, don't worry. We got a solution ready to keep you safe. It's all about keeping you safe. And, you know, here's the thing. So we've got these devices. And it's not just devices. It's devices and it's software that are part of this Internet of Things. We have one that, like I said, can analyze your pee, tell whether or not you're healthy. We have another that can tell whether or not you're depressed or mentally ill. We have the Under Armour armor wear, and Watson behind the scenes making your underwear smart. Typically for athletes, but hey, tomorrow it'll be for grandma. Here, we'll read this one. This is a story I had up from a couple days ago. IBM's. Oh, come on. Don't hang on me. Everything got really slow all of a sudden. IBM's Watson will tell you. This is for you people who just don't have a clue. IBM's Watson will tell you when to sleep. He'll tell you when to exercise. And he'll tell you when to eat. So little Johnny, don't worry about that frontal lobotomy. Good old Watson will save you. How insane is this? So it says, I'm not sure if this is creepy or amazing. Yeah, I'd probably err on the side of creepy. Under Armour announced a whole bunch of products at CES this year. That's the Consumer Electronics Show, typically in Las Vegas, Nevada. And this was in January. From his first pair of connected sneakers, so we're also going to have internet-enabled sneakers, to a standard wristband activity tracker. And we talked about that. The Fitbit was dipping your toe into becoming a node on the Internet of Everything. But the most interesting announcement had to do with everyone's favorite supercomputer. Now, we watched Charlie Rose's 60 Minutes interview with the founder of Watson last week. And we found out that Watson, in just a short 5 years, went from learning to read to being able to diagnose difficult cancers, recommend treatments, and out of 30% of the cases, Watson actually found treatments that an entire board of oncologists missed while they first were assessing the patients. But they've also taught Watson to read scans. And they taught him all about genomics, and he's working at 20 different hospitals now. And remember, this is only the beginning, but they said that Watson's been set free. Watson is like, when he was on Jeopardy, he was like the little boy getting on the bus. Well, that day when Watson got on the bus, Watson was set free, the creator said. It was like his little kid grew up. And now Watson's still self-contained. He's in IBM's data center. But Watson is working on a lot of different technologies. You know, IBM has very, very, very long history working hand-in-hand, not only with the government, but with other governments. Go back to the days of World War II and take a look at the history of IBM in Germany. Okay, I'm not going to get into that today, but it's very interesting that it's the same IBM. And at that point in time, the founder of IBM, his name happened to be Watson. So it happened to be the real Watson working with the Nazis. But yeah, so now we have Watson. It's going to help cure you, going to track your sneakers, going to be able to determine whether or not you are healthy. And now Watson will be able to tell you when's the best time for you to sleep or to exercise or to eat based upon algorithms and your real-time monitored behavior. The idea is Watson will analyze your daily activity, sleep, and food data that you share with the UA Record app and show you an insight that compares you with others similar anonymous members in the Under Armour community. This is going to pit you against their whole social network. One example that this author saw was around sleep. Someone had just logged 5 hours of sleep, and the app told them that there are 5.7 million men in the Under Armour community in his age group. And based on that age group, the average body mass index is the lowest among people who sleep 7 to 8 hours each night. Now, how frightening is that? Remember, I've talked a lot about behavioral analytics and pre-crime. This is the first step to that. And this isn't, we're not talking about pre-crime. In this case, we happen to be looking at your health running within parameters. You know, remember, Nana, when you become a burden on society because you haven't been taking care of yourself, we're going to have to cut you loose. So if you want to continue to maintain yourself as a productive member of this new 21st century world that we're building for ourselves, you better put that little surveillance device on and send us your urine sample on a daily basis so we can make sure that you've been taking your medicine, Nana. Get on that scale. We'll provide you a dashboard and we can monitor you real time that day. Those little robot nanobots, blood nanobots come out. Be able to do everything in real time. But for now, we're just going to make sure that you're eating, sleeping, and getting enough exercise. I mean, you could see where this is going. And again, they're making it look like, oh, this is such a neat little toy. These aren't toys, people. This is them setting a baseline of metrics. But every single one of us, you know, don't feed the machine. I've said that before. Don't feed the machine. Screw up the machine. Use some weird-ass name and start messing with the statistics. You know, get up every 3 hours and then tell it you ate cricket protein. I don't know. It just, don't feed the machine. These people think, oh, I'm so cool. Look, the app is free. The app is never free, guys. Even if the app is free, guess what? Your data is worth a whole hell of a lot of money to a lot of people. The author says, I've seen insights like this before in consumer health and fitness apps. Microsoft Health, ding. All the tech big boys are in the health and longevity, remember. Which provides a lot of really granular data is one good example. But Under Armour and the Under Armour app want to take that even further in the future. They plan to use data from the Weather Channel's mobile app, which IBM recently acquired, which I didn't know that either. Keep Watson off your phone. To factor weather into workouts. For example, if data shows that people tend to run longer in colder weather, the app might suggest the time to go running based on temperature. It'll also use the calendar data to predict the best time of day to work out and pull in local gym class schedules to tell you where to go for it. I mean, this is going to be like your dad on your phone, soon to be on your wearable Under Armour clothes, and then on your little implant in the future. Don't let IBM get near you. The cognitive superpowers, ding, ding. And it is superpowers, and they're going to get even more super as days go on, and we feed it more data. The cognitive superpowers of IBM's Watson have been used across a variety of large-scale industries for a few years now, including healthcare, manufacturing, and education. And at the Consumer Electronics Show this year, IBM also demonstrated how Watson could provide intelligence in a what? Oh, in a Whirlpool Gen Air connected oven. Yes. Remember, your ovens, your refrigerators, your washing machines, and someday your toilet are all going to be a part of the smart network of the Internet of Everything. They've also been able to help medical device companies deliver more insightful data, ding, ding, and even make a customer service robot more empathetic. And we saw that release at the CES show with that Ginny, their CEO. That was Peppa, partnered with IBM to give Peppa some emotions. While data shared from Watson could be especially interesting in the Under Armour Record app, there is also the slightly unnerving idea, you think just slightly, huh, of Watson having access to your data, whether it is completely anonymized or not. And I'll tell you what, nothing's completely anonymized, and they can tell you it's anonymized all you want. Maybe the data that they're providing to others to gauge against might be stripped of any identifying information, but trust me, the data that's being fed to the back ends has to have some sort of index as to where it came from, has to have some sort of point-to-point connection to be able to feed your data via service, web service, or whatever, back to the machine. In order to do that, you got to have some identifying data, such as an IP address, which, of course, you can plug right in and, boop, get location and find out who it is. It's very, very possible. So I call bullshit on this being fully anonymous, and whoever's writing the story for The Verge tends to be a little bit naive in that fact. Little greenies writing articles about technology that they don't really understand fully or understand the full implications of. Says, I'm a regular user. Well, this explains it. If this author is a regular user of this app, we know where he lies. I'm a regular user of MyFitnessPal, another one of Under Armour's apps, and I thought of my data finding its way to IBM Watson without my explicit permission, and it made me pause. It's something that I've talked about before in regards to wearables, he says. As we share more and more health data with consumer tech devices and applications, there's really no way to know where that data will end up in the case of consolidation and partnerships. And when I first started using my fitness pal, I obviously didn't know that when the data would end up as a part of a giant apparel company. And that's what I mean. Like, guys, we've been feeding the machine for so many years. You know, my friend and I, way 20 plus years back, when I was a technician, and Google first kind of came onto the stage with this white page with a box on it. And I don't know, I never felt too good about them. I didn't like them. I was still in a Microsoft camp. But then they came out with their tagline, Google is not evil. And my friend and I, my friend who sat over the wall from me, we used to argue about that all the time because he insisted Google was not evil. And I insisted Google was evil. And so as they started giving us all these free tools that we could sign up for, step right up, get your free email. Step right up, get your own analytics. Step right up, get your whatever. I was always very cautious with that. I've been very, 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 very cautious about uploading photos. Very, very, very cautious about using my full name in a lot of different places, signing up for crap. Have a couple email addresses and put them somewhere else so you can distinguish between a public and a private profile. You definitely don't want everything about you out there. And I keep telling my daughter that, especially children in this day and age. I mean, it's so ubiquitous now. You know, at least we had a choice. At least we saw straddled on that line the before time and the after time. I always had skepticism. Any new technology, I always, even when I was younger, I'd look sideways at it. I never liked microwave ovens. I was like, yeah, that looks like a good idea. Plus, food never tasted good when you put it in a microwave. But, you know, these kids now, we've talked about this a lot of times over the years. You know, they're grooming these children to put it all out there. All balls out. Post your selfie pictures 24/7. Tell everyone when your cat farted and what you had for breakfast. Because, you know, you're a important, egotistical, narcissistic member of society now. You're very important. We want to know all about you. So keep posting it because your friends will want to know what you do 24/7. And they want the kids to be like this. No sense of privacy. I also think that's what a lot of the reality TV shows were, like the Big Brother and, you know, stupid Kardashian butt, whatever. You know, let's make it normalized to have cameras following us around 24/7, locked in a house with a bunch of people. Oh, look how funny it is. You know, they're normalizing this. They're normalizing us not being paranoid when we see that there's surveillance everywhere. And it's all for your own safety. You know, not only do we have hackers under every bed and every closet coming out, but we got self-radicalized internet terrorists under every bed in every community that might come out and do something wiggy. But don't worry, we got all these HD cameras everywhere. We can track them. We got all kinds of ways with satellites and laser beams, molecular scanners. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. This stuff is out of control now, guys. We've lost control. And now, you mark my words, they haven't said it yet. But as I'm watching the drumbeat since Friday about this big, the biggest ever takedown of the internet using some old vulnerability that shouldn't really, honestly, they should have probably come up with a solution for it at some point in the past. What they're saying they did. In the old days, they used to just use computers because we didn't have internet-connected refrigerators and stuff back in those days. But you would end up picking up a bot accidentally. Hackers would post little .exe files with this little bot. You'd go to websites or whatever, or maybe they'd get you with a vulnerability and insert it on your machine. Who knows how it got in there, but you'd get it, and it was a time bomb. So it didn't, when you got it on your machine, it didn't execute immediately. It had a date and a time for when it was to come to life. It was like a zombie. And they'd set it for a month or two at a time. I think there was even one at one point back maybe 10, 15 plus years ago. That it was a good year, apparently, that we had been picking up these little zombie bots on our computers. And when the date and time came, bing, they all came to life. And every single one of us that got one of those little zombie bots would start blasting gibberish data. Doesn't matter what it is, just to flood the lines. And it would aim it to a single IP address. That's how these attacks worked before. And that single IP address would be whoever your target was. Maybe the hackers wanted to go after, you know, Department of Defense, which would probably be a bad idea. Or maybe the hackers wanted to go after a bank, or maybe they wanted to go after, you know, Amazon. Who knows? But every one of those websites has an IP address that is tied to their name. So Amazon.com is actually an IP address, and I don't know what it is, but it's probably something like, you know, 208.574.232.7. Who knows? But there are servers out there called DNS servers, dynamic naming server. And these servers, there's a bunch of them on the internet, but there's not an unlimited number. These servers do that direct translation from the IP address to the address itself. So then we could just type in the name of the company. We don't need to remember the IP address. So in the old days, these zombie bots would get on everyone's computers, and then at a given place and time, they would execute, and they would spew so much data at that IP address, that single IP address for the company or organization that they wanted to target, that their connection would be completely flooded and nobody could get to the website. That's how they take it down. Well, they took it one step further, and I thought to myself, oh, how ingenious when they did this. Yes, 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 knowing about this new shape-shifting, artificially intelligent sentry bot that they're just chomping at the bit now to release onto the internet. The fact that this happens, and now that they're blaming it on the insecurity of the Internet of Things, tells me that this is going to be their next play. So, this attack on Friday, what these quote-unquote hackers did this time is go after one of the dynamic naming servers. This one happened to be in Maryland, I believe, it said, which supported a lot of the internet traffic translation for the entire East Coast. And it, so instead of going after just something like Amazon.com, they went after the IP address of this dynamic naming server. And it wasn't just computers this time. They had infected little devices plugged in everywhere, all over the internet. Not just your computer, but your refrigerator and your baby monitor and your little smart gadget, whatever. I don't know. There's all kinds of things out there. And now people are calling for, oh, making liability for companies to release stuff that isn't safe. And oh my God, it's the end user who's at fault now. Because you haven't been savvy in regards to security. And if you can't be savvy in regards to security and step right up and get your patches, then maybe you shouldn't be allowed on the internet. I saw that as well. And don't think that that isn't coming either. They're going to make us authenticate. And you will be approved for internet use. You'll have to go through your little training session. Your little brainwash training session. To even be allowed to get on this special network called the Internet of Everything. So, as we have all this happen now, let's try to see where. Oh, where. So we had Obama announce his big AI push. He wants to release the hounds. But now we have this big attack right before the election. Hackers everywhere. But it doesn't matter because we got the key. We got the cure. We want to probably test it out. You know what? Obama's our chum. He's our chummy chum pal. Carnegie Mellon. Actually, we're the ones who won that competition. And Obama was just there talking about artificial intelligence and his roadmap plan. So, you know, hey, good old Barry, cousin Barry. I'll just send him an instant message and say, hey, I think it's time. So let's listen to this. This came out of Gizmodo. It was after Friday. Today's brutal attack. And this is a distributed denial of service. Is the beginning of a bleak future. That's what they call it, a distributed denial of service. Meaning that you have devices everywhere, all over the planet, all with a set time to start releasing noise. And instead of aiming it at a single IP address that was addressing a website, they aimed it at a single IP address that was supporting a dynamic naming server, which does the translation for millions of websites from their addressing scheme to the actual words. And, you know, if you block traffic to that, guess what, Clyde? You can't get there unless you knew the IP address of the site. So Friday morning, a ton of websites and services, including Spotify and Twitter, and I saw Netflix as well, and were unreachable because of a distributed denial of service attack on DYN, which is a major DNS provider. And I've used DYN before. They've been around forever. Details of how the attack happens remain vague. Well, I've read a lot about it since then. But one thing seems certain. Our internet is fragile in the face of increasingly sophisticated attacks. Guys, get into bed and pull those blankets up around your nose because those hackers are coming out from underneath your bed. Get afraid. Be very afraid. Some think the attack was a political conspiracy. Of course it is. Likely an attempt to take down the internet so people won't be able to read the leaked Clinton emails on WikiLeaks. Well, if that's the case, then I would say it was probably the NSA doing it for Hitlery. But others think that it's a usual Russian assault. Yeah, like the Russians. I don't know. And they might be screwing with us, but that's really dumb, especially since way back when Obama declared cyber attacks are an act of war. You remember that. It was back 3-4 years ago, him and Keith Alexander. Cyber warfare was the next range of warfare and add to that space with that space executive order. Guys, it's coming. This is really coming. This is going to be the lockdown. We just gave the whole ICANN domain name purchasing system to an international body as well. And don't forget, last year, the internet was declared, an appliance. No, not an appliance. It was declared a utility. And so by being a utility, they gave it to the FCC, and the FCC hasn't done much right now. They were looking at that net neutrality thing, and I don't know even where that's standing right now, but we haven't seen too many changes. But guys, that doesn't mean it's going to be that way forever. There's going to be a clampdown. I'm telling you, it is coming. I don't think I'm going to read about how distributed denial of service attacks work, because we just talked about it. I explained it all. But don't worry about it, because they attacked us, and things are going to get really bad. It says this could be the beginning of a very bleak future if hackers are more easily able to amass extensive distributed denial of service botnets. That means the internet as we know it, ding, 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 becomes more vulnerable. Attacking a major internet infrastructure like DYN has always been a possibility, but it becomes easier than ever to launch huge distributed denial of service attacks. That means that we might be seeing some of our favorite sites have more downtime than usual. And what I don't get about this, like, I was a network engineer, okay? I engineered stuff. This was something that, you know, I was always the one who customers wanted to always do stuff on the cheap, because equipment's not cheap. And so you'd find ways to kind of get around having to spend bazillions of dollars and then maybe offer them a phase two or a phase three part of the project when they get more budget money to be able to add these additional pieces. Like we talked about in the old days, intrusion detection modules you could plug in. But those are like $29,999, if I remember my list price correctly. That's like $30,000 for one card for a router to be able to look for anomalous behavior in your network. That's a lot, but you could budget for it and make it part of your security. Well, scary thing is that even though it's been part of a possibility, I already have ideas of how we could fix this without autonomous software. There are different companies out there that'll mask your IP address and then have some other, I don't know, they do this special dynamic DNS stuff where they can give you a whole bunch of IP addresses, which really aren't your IP address, but they'll give a whole bunch of routes to get there, and no one ever knows what your actual address is, so they can't hit you with a denial of service attack. I mean, you got to pay a monthly fee for it, but there are companies out there that do it. And if anyone remembers Madison from End the Lie, Madison used to get attacked a lot. Madison bought one of those services, and Madison's website was up most of the time because he had that service. I mean, it's already possible. It has been. It was already 5-6 years ago. So I don't understand how this was like. This isn't even a new type of attack. I mean, we're talking 20 years ago they were launching distributed denial of services. Anyway, this could be the beginning of a very bleak future. These attacks could extend to other major pieces of our internet infrastructure, causing even more widespread outages. And remember, Manet Napolitano talking about how our utility infrastructure, our nuclear power plants, our electrical generating stations, we have the White House, we have all of our first responders, everything right now is connected in some way, shape, or form to the internet or to computers that are potentially targets. It is unclear how long it'll take the folks at DYN to fix the problem. Well, it looks like they already took care of it. But if hackers are able to take down the internet at will, what happens next? Ha 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 ha! Don't you love the way they set up that question? Because I could tell you what happens next. What happens next is called the DARPA Grand Cyber Challenge. Ding, ding. Step right up and bend over, because we got your solution. The Grand Cyber Challenge was the first all machine hacking tournament in Las Vegas at the DEF CON Hacking Convention, August 4th, 2016. DARPA officials said that their goal was to create public proof that cyber defenses can be automated using machines capable of spotting and fixing software bugs in real time. Remember, I told you this will also replace your network administrator in every small to medium to large business out there. They can get this up and running 29/9 to 5. You won't even have to pay them vacation or sick time or pension. We'll just run the software. Shh, we're not pulling any statistics or scanning the inside of your network, Mr. Private Corporation. No, it's all to keep you safe. We need to all work together to protect ourselves against the bad guys out there. And the only way we could do that, Mr. Private Company, Mr. Home End User, who's afraid that their smart camera is going to be spying on them and doing distributed denial of service attacks when they're sleeping. Yes, we will take care of it for you. I know your puny little human brains can't handle security or downloading software, so we'll fix it. Don't worry about it. And you'll never even know, out of sight, out of mind. This emerging subset of artificial intelligence known as machine learning is increasingly being used in fields like big data to automate labor-intensive, often tedious steps in the data analytics process. And the need to spot and repair software glitches is increasing exponentially. Ding, ding, ding. So is everything with technology. As more smart sensors and smart devices are connected. Remember, this is all part of that Internet of Everything with the 5G and the millimeter wave and the launching the CubeSat satellites and the 24/7 solar-powered Internet drones. Google and Facebook. We also have our autonomous drone network that they are building between Verizon and NASA and a lot of the other big tech companies. This is ugly, guys. This whole picture, I think they think people are stupid. Maybe most people, I don't know, maybe it's just me. Maybe most people don't see these connecting points. But this is like that really predictable movie that you watch. And my mother is so bad at that. Like, try to watch a movie or take my mom to the movies. I haven't gone in years, but you know, back in the old days, and my mother would always be the spoiler because she was able to go bloop, and she would always figure it out like a quarter of the way into the movie. She'd figure out the ending already and she'd ruin it. That's what this is like for me. You know, I look at this, I've been doing this shit for so many years, and it's just kind of innate. I mean, I could see the progression. I could see where it's going. And the fact that they announced the software, Obama went to the same university who won this competition, announced his roadmap 2 weeks ago for the future of AI. And now we get this huge cyber attack. I've never seen anything like it before. Oh my God. Even though it's a vulnerability we've known about since the beginning of time. And we got this software waiting in the wings. Waiting in the wings to protect us. You wait and see. They will announce that this is coming. Cybersecurity specialists worry. And just like I said, by the way, we did a whole couple shows on the shape-shifting technologies. This is shape-shifting security. We also have the shape-shifting immune system. We have the shape-shifting materials project to be able to build things from raw materials, let's say, on another planet like Mars. All being worked on by DARPA right now. Just like the shape-shifting immune system for the internet, I pointed out to you, DARPA is working on a shape-shifting immune system, a quote-unquote gene therapy for humans as well. And the way they're going to get that all into us, and I'm telling you, this is just a really bad feeling, but I could tell you I see the connecting line pretty deep and black, just like we got attacked. Denial of service on the internet by the bad guys. You know, we're going to have a few Typhoid Marys, I think. Going to show up in a few cities. It's going to be the bad guys. It's going to be either ISIS or China or Russia. There's going to be a big outbreak, pandemic. They've been planning on this since 2006 when I took that FEMA class. And they told us all about the new universal vaccine that they had in development in the lab. We've dug into that here on this show. I mean, back in those days, I had no clue. But I know all about it now. That was called the DARPA Blue Angel Program. And that was for a flu vaccine, but it's gone way above and beyond that. That was just the first days, 10 years ago, of their development. Now it's going to be a full-out, full-blown synthetic immune system to genetically modify you to protect you against any pathogen ever, seen or unseen, known or unknown. Just like the software on the internet, vulnerability or patch, seen or unseen, known or unknown, we could see anomalous behavior. We could make and spot patches required on these exponential number of sensors and smart devices that are being connected every day. Put on a seatbelt, people. We're going to be taking over. AI is going to be in every facet of your life. Hence, DARPA put up $4 million in prize money, and I told you, Carnegie Mellon won their $2 million top prize, and they spread $1 million out in a couple other places. Mike Walker, DARPA's program manager for the Cyber Grand Challenge, noted the exponential rise in the amount of code written is expected to reach a trillion lines by the middle of this century. And remember, when you build applications, just like pieces of physical hardware, you got to build applications with security in mind. You don't want to have a SQL injection attack, which is probably one of the most common and the easiest. But to this day, people still write apps that apparently can have that type of vulnerability, some of the, you know, Hacker 101 vulnerabilities. So, you know, Let's come up with a solution. Let's just give it all to the machine. Let the machine scan everything, fix everything. Don't worry about it. But then they turn it into binary code and stamp it into chips so it can no longer be updated. And those are integrated circuits, and that's exactly the issue here into all these devices. And all those chips now have been put into quote-unquote things, like the Internet of Things, and those things have been distributed around the world and connected to the Internet. So, hence, DARPA warns the potential number of vulnerabilities out there is staggering. I would say probably apocalyptic. They're going to use that for their advantage. But the DARPA manager says it will require, and this was in June of 2016, it will require some form of automation that can be scaled to handle the soaring workloads. Ding, ding, ding. I predict we will see in the not too distant future the Cyber Grand Challenge software being rolled out as our solution. So where do we go from here? I guess. I can't believe that the time went so fast. But let's go here and we'll kick this off because it's only Monday. Got another 4 days to go down this yellow brick road, skippity skip with Toto. Elon Musk, good old Elon. Like I said, I don't know whether to love him or hate him. I kind of like Elon, but I don't know if I trust him. Elon Musk says that the DARPA AI hacking challenge, that very same one we were just talking about, where they're building autonomous security software to run everything. Elon Musk says DARPA AI hacking challenge will lead to Skynet, and he may or may not be joking. The Defense Advanced Research Project Agency announced the Cyber Grand Challenge, the 7-team $3.75 million prize hacking tournament that concludes in Las Vegas in August. So it's a, and we talked about that when it happened. DARPA stated its goal is to find new strategies for countering what? Oh, cyber warfare. But Elon Musk isn't buying it. Ding, 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 ding. See, I like Elon because he thinks a lot like me, too. There have been a lot of times he and I are on the exact same page. It would probably be fun to have a beer with him. Has some good discussions. In fact, Elon thinks that the Cyber Grand Challenge might just leave us with something like Skynet, the hostile AI that routinely tries to destroy humanity in the Terminator franchise. Yes, how wonderful. Musk tweeted a not-so-veiled warning on Thursday morning, and it's not the first time that he's gone on record being fearful of a malicious supercomputer. On paper, DARPA wants to build an automated artificial intelligence that is capable of detecting and resolving bugs in a computer security system. Essentially, they want to create an unsupervised, autonomous AI hacker extraordinaire. Just what we need. Autonomous AI hacker extraordinaire and set free on the internet that will detect system vulnerabilities and patch themselves. And like I said, don't think that all these cyber patrol divisions tied to all the different alphabet agencies that were created under Keith Alexander. Again, if you haven't read it, read that Wired article about Keith Alexander from a couple summers ago. You will fall off your chair. But then they merged the NSA into internal and external into one big group. Now it's the NSA 21 for the 21st century. Guys, don't think that this software that can scan all the vulnerabilities isn't going to use those vulnerabilities to slip in your back door and scan everything on your machine and put in all the little bugs that they want put in on your machine, find all of your criminal activity, and be able to report it back to the machine. And this is all a part of this. As it stands today, of course, people perform the often thankless duty of cybersecurity, and that is true. Be nice to your IT guy. But expert hackers are adept at finding and fixing susceptibilities. I mean, what kills me is that this was like the simplest type of attack, a distributed denial of service, and they're making it like, oh my God, it was so sophisticated. All right, guys, well, if you can even believe it, the show, we went through a whole hour, and I am just getting wound up. All right, make sure you stick around because it is Monday. Ms. Lonnie Clark is live up next. All kinds of great radio tonight in a brand new Truth on the Tracks and Live Anti-Media. All right, guys, have an awesome Monday. I'll catch up with you tomorrow.